Well, I'm very happy to be a part of the family of God. Something that I've heard in the prayers here is that the Lord knows you and me from A to Z. Never had really thought of that before. But it's true. He knows our humanity. And all of us are just human beings of the earth. I want to tell you something, I'm human. And I have human emotions, and I have my thoughts, and I have my doubts, and I have my battles, and I have my struggles, and I'm just one of you. We're all in this thing together.
That's right.
I'm very thankful to be here. I have counted it a great privilege to be in this little meeting and see your chapel and see your faces and know who lives here. And I won't be the same. Sister Sherry called me several months ago and she said, would you pray about coming out for the meeting? Well, I hadn't ever prayed about it, didn't think about it. And I said, yes, I'll pray about it. And I can only say that the Lord didn't say no. And we heard that Sister Diane and Brother Eric was going to be here, and I just have a little attachment to them and looking forward to that. But the Lord has been in it. This has been ordered of the Lord. And I cannot thank the Lord enough. And then we're just going to be going back home more blessed than we came. So I thank the Lord for everything that I've heard in this meeting, all of the precious songs and the prayers, and it's just all meant something to me, and I just wanted to let you know that. I'm going to write on the board what our little thought or subject might be. Making some noise. Now I haven't been always able to hardly see what's up here. I hope you can see it. Prophetic and personal vision. I'm going to say that I'm asking for you to pray the Lord to help us.
Amen.
To begin with, visions are important. With God, it's very important. He used dreams and visions throughout the whole Word of God, especially the Old Testament. It was God's way of revealing himself to individuals, and it was his way of allowing man to understand who God was and what he was, and we all are familiar with how God revealed himself to Abraham, but he wasn't the only one. It was also God's way of revealing his plan and his purposes and opening up to individuals' minds the will of God. He used visions, and he used sometimes dreams. And he also allowed individuals such as Daniel to know the future, to enlighten even you and me, to give us a little knowledge of the future. So the visions and the dreams that he used had purpose.
Amen.
And it was convincing. The individuals that he chose to receive this revelation or these instructions, he chose them to be the agents. I'll say agents to teach the people and to open up to the people the fear of God. And to open up to the people divine things.
Uh-huh.
And so this was God's way. And in the Old Testament, this could be a challenge to you to take your concordance and look up the word seers. And a lot of these prophets were called seers.
Uh-huh.
Because their eyes had to be opened to what God was revealing to them before they could give it to anybody else.
Right.
So I remember the Lord giving me a message on seers. Does he have seers today? I believe he does. And hopefully you'll think so too. But in the New Testament, you know the scripture, what it says. It says that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It said that it came by God through holy men that spake. How were they speaking? As they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we know that the Holy Spirit was working down through the Old Testament as well as the New. But that even the word that you and I have in the New Testament, it is given by holy men that are inspired by the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. So these men of old, they saw and they heard a communication that the average person of the old could not hear. Whenever they heard the voice of God, it sounded like thunders. It sounded like voice of many waters. It didn't sound like words. But when God spoke to the prophets of old, they were in words that they could understand and that they could receive. And they were able to convey those sayings to God's people. And I have a scripture in 2 Chronicles that I came to me this morning that tells us that you and I will profit if we will believe the prophets. So when we speak of prophetic visions, the visions of old, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Is anyone moved by the Holy Spirit today? Well, it is through the preached word. But this is what the scripture says in the Old Testament concerning the prophets. It is First Chronicles. I'm sorry, if somebody gets it. It's 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, and I think I've got it right here. Just turn to it. It was Jehoshaphat, and he spoke to the children of Israel, and he said, "Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established." And then what did it say? Believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. There's you and I will prosper if we will believe the preached word. We may not be in the time of the Old Testament, And we may be somewhat different from the New Testament, but the Holy Spirit is still working with God's people, and He's sending the same message to God's people. Believe God.
Yes.
And believe the preached word.
Yes.
Count it of value, and you will prosper. So that's the plan of God. And we know what the scripture says. It says, through the foolishness of preaching.
Yes.
And sometimes it does seem foolish, and yet our sister was speaking of that connection or that inspiration that we can feel as the word goes forth and it touches our hearts. That's the connection, is the Lord witnessing to me and to you and to the one that is speaking, what the agent that He has chosen to speak the word, and that becomes then a vision to a degree. It's like a vision, and I want us to consider how important visions are for us even today. So prophetic visions is nothing more than the preached word that is Holy Ghost inspired by the chosen vessels or those that God has chosen to speak to the people. And that's not the only way. That's not the only way, thank the Lord. But we've had the scripture already expressed in this meeting that all shall know me, from the least to the great. So this is not isolated to just ministers or Sunday school teachers. It is open for all of us, thank the Lord. So as long as we believe God, and as long as we believe His promise, and it's not a blind trust or belief. The scripture plainly tells you and me that we are to try the spirits.
Yes.
We're not to be gullible. We're not to be ignorant. If anything I have been impressed of late, it is that God is not wanting an ignorant people.
Amen.
In this day, He does not want you and me to be ignorant of a lot of things. And I think we'll may speak of that a little bit more. But there are times in the Old Testament that the prophetic word of prophecies were lacking. And I want to speak just a little bit to that, because I believe that our whole society has been affected in the fact that even the religions of the world have dropped the ball, you might say. They have not promoted God's word in our society and to people, and we see the result of it all around us. But there was some times in the Old Testament that there was a lack of prophecy, teachings, and in some places it said it didn't even exist. And so I'm going to give you some of the examples of those. One was Eli. I'm not going to turn and read to you about that. I know you're familiar with it. And it, at that time it said there was no open vision. So the people began to suffer in some way when the prophet himself did not carry out what God was intending for him to do to the people or for the people. There was also in the days of Asa, it said, and Israel had long been without a teaching priest. You and I need to be taught.
That's right.
It's going to work together.
Yeah.
Prophetic vision, personal vision, they will work together. They will be saying the same things. It will not be saying this over here and that over there and they not connect at all. So there was a time that Israel, something began to happen to Israel when there was not a teaching priest. And then in 2 Chronicles 18 and 19, and I just wrote down a little portion of that verse, it said the people were destroyed by reason of lack of knowledge of what? Divine things. when you and I have a lack of knowledge of divine things, something happens. And this is what I feel like that the result is. It's confusion. There comes confusion, disorder. These are things that I felt I was impressed with. Rebellion. The people fell into uncontrolled, it proves it in the Word of God, that the children of Israel fell into uncontrollable excesses. They did not have control of their passions. They didn't have morals. They were bowing to a calf and saying, this is what brought us out. But something had happened there that broke that connection of this prophetic prophecy from God. And it had heathen actions. They learned the way of the heathen when they were not taught the Word of God. So that's what happens. And now we can look in our society and we can see that it's happening all around us. We have generations that have no idea of the divine things, of the importance of divine things. The people today, and I know I'm not saying anything that you don't already observe yourself, but we are in a heathen nation. Literally, it's all around us. And the scripture even has tried to prepare us for this time. Are we in the last days? We believe it. We believe we are in the last of the last days. And yet, the scripture has tried to prepare us for that time. And it says that you and I would be compassed about with all of these spirits. I'm putting those words as a reference there, but it will be near the end. And people will not even, they may see you at the store, and there may be a few that will observe your spirit and recognize a Christ-like divine spirit. But most people will not observe anything in you at all. You will be just like anybody else, maybe looking a little weird, but who else is looking weird? You're fitting in the world in a way. But there will be some, there will be a few that will say there's something different there. But it will be very few, and the scripture says it will be very few. So those are the things that happen if we do not have the prophetic visions or even the personal vision. So the next scripture that I have is very familiar to us all. A portion of it, Proverbs 29 and 18. And it's just the first part of it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So that scripture in itself tells us people are perishing today because there is no prophetic teachings. There's not the teachings out there. Yes. And you and I are so blessed. Amen. If we hear the teachings. Yes. And we hear the preachings. Yes. And we know that it's anointed. And we know that it is sent of the Holy Spirit. We are so blessed. Count your blessings. If you have a Holy Ghost filled pastor, count your blessings. If you can witness that your pastor is following in the steps of the Lord, count your blessings. If you have a pastor that is able to say, follow me as I follow Christ, count your blessings. Oh, God is good to his people. To allow you and me to have the teachings and to have these visions. So this scripture says, where there is no vision. I looked this up in some other translations. I hope you don't mind if I refer to them. One scripture says, and this is where I got the, my eyes were opened when I did read it from this point of view, because I have always thought that that scripture was speaking about my vision personally. And it is. I believe it. It's not taking away from the meaning of the scripture at all. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, or where there is no word from God, or where there is ignorance of God, or where there is no understanding of the Word of God. See what happens when the Word of God falls to the ground? Something happens. Well, I'm going to add this, that if the preached word, if the prophetic vision is watered down, the same can happen. Or if it is wrested, W-R-E-S-T-E-D, twisted, if we're not getting a clear message. And I want us to understand that a little bit more. I'm going to read some scriptures on that. So where there is, I'm going to add this, and I believe you will agree, where there is no or a lack of anointing, something happens. We're responsible to each other. We, each one, we are our brother's keeper. But those that stand before us are even more responsible. It's just how it is.
That's right.
According to the Word of God, we are responsible to stand in this place. And if we give the Word any less than what it is, what does the Scripture say? Something's going to be taken away from us if we add to it. See, we do not believe God is calling for His people to be ignorant of fanaticism. Nor is He desiring you and me to fall under liberal, a liberal spirit, a lacking, a slack, a less, a watered down thing. He doesn't want us to live under His standard. So there's something that will happen if, and this is the other part of another translation of the remaining part of that. This is what it says that the people will do. The people will throw off restraint. If they do not hear the preached word in its fullness, in its truth, if you do not hear it in this congregation, in our congregation, in LaRonda's congregation, if it is watered down, something begins to happen and the people are no longer in, they don't have restraint. They don't see the importance. It says that the people will decay. Their experience, their walk with God will decay if we don't continually be fed the truth. And it also says the people will do whatever they want. These are from other translations. And the people quickly wander astray. Oh, how important is it that we have a clear vision? That those that stand before us also have a clear vision. Thank the Lord. He is able to help us, isn't He?
Amen.
Now I'd like for you to turn with me, because this is the first part of our thought. It's not going to all be toward the ministers, but maybe I wish that there were other ministers here. That we be reminded of this passage, and it's in Ezekiel 33. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, portions of them. And it says that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say, and then I'm skipping down to the last part of that verse, take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Now, what he is saying here, you take someone that is familiar with the doctrine. Someone that has already been taught the doctrine. Someone that is living it. Someone that is familiar with God's way, familiar with the plan of God, fully familiar, convinced of God's way. That's the ones that you want for your watchmen. And so that's what he said here. Take somebody of your own family or your own people. And that's the one that will watch for you. Now, a watchman has a purpose. A watchman is to watch for what? For the dangers. And so sometimes when we are going along and maybe we go to camp meeting and somebody gets up and they begin to cry aloud and spare not. And they begin to say, be careful about this. And you may look at it and say, I don't see anything wrong with that. But there's a purpose.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is really the watcher of your soul.
Yes.
And is using an agent or a holy man or woman to speak these words. So you take one that's familiar, not someone that's ignorant. And I say this cautiously, I think. In other words, you wouldn't go out and find a sectarian preacher. If you needed a pastor, would you go out and find, maybe you would get in the paper and we need a pastor. And so somebody from another church comes and says, I'll be your pastor. Well, can you watch for my soul? Would that be what we would say? We wouldn't trust anyone that is not already watching for their own soul.
Yeah.
So then it goes into verse 3 and it says, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and he warns the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So if the preached word goes forth and you hear the sound of the trumpet and yet you reject it, your blood will be on yourself.
Yes.
Nobody else. Because you heard it.
Yes.
And you rejected it. But then it goes on and it places a greater weight upon those who carry the word. Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, so we understand that. He that taketh warning shall deliver. The ones that take the warning, you deliver your own soul. That's what the word says. I didn't say it, but that's, if you believe it, if you believe the prophets, you will prosper and you will save your own soul. That's what it will do. And so verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword come, blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word from whom? From God. We believe and teach and practice that when God places a call upon any vessel to stand in this place, not only does he qualify them, but he teaches them. He teaches them to learn the sound of his voice.
Yes.
And he has a still small voice.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You have to get acquainted with the voice of the Lord to be able to understand when he's giving a message, because there are other voices.
Yes.
And you have to put it to the test. You don't You don't just jump in there and say, this is a message. You put it to the test. You allow the Spirit of the Lord to confirm it or to give that witness, and you wait on the Lord. So we do it from the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
It is not from me.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, I was struggling with some of these kind of things, you know, and the Lord gave me a scripture that Moses said. As Moses was leading the children of Israel out, and he was being accused that they were taking them out to just die in the desert. And what did Moses say? He said, this thing is not of mine own mind. This was of the mind of the Spirit. So when we are seeking the Lord for messages, that's how I pray. Ever since I read that scripture, I realize I have a mind. I can be influenced by other voices.
Yes.
And so I pray, I say, Lord, don't let this be of my own mind.
Yes.
Let this be of the mind of the Spirit. And I put it to the test. That's what we have to do if we stand before the people.
Yes.
Make sure it's not of your own mind, that it is of the mind of the Spirit. But it says here, I've set thee as a watchman. I want you to hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but again, his blood will be upon that minister's hand. Do you see how serious it is? I have counted it very serious. From the time that the Lord called me to the ministry, this put the fear of God upon me. I have a responsibility. I'm responsible for my own soul, but I am responsible to those that God puts in my path.
Yes.
To speak the truth, to enlighten, to teach,
yes,
to not twist the word of God, nor water it down. And in the last verse 9, nevertheless, again, if thou warn the wicked of their way, to turn from it, and he does not turn, then I am free of their blood.
Amen.
Now let's go to the 44th chapter of Ezekiel, and we're going to find out how the Lord is desiring you and me to be taught. And this is only one verse, the 44 and 23. And there's many other verses that could be used, but it says, they shall, speaking of the prophets of God, or the teaching prophets, or the priests, they shall teach my people the difference. Now I want to tell you, there's differences today. The word of God is the same today as it was yesterday. The same for this generation as it was for many generations before.
Yes.
And they've all had to be taught in the same way. We have to sometimes be awakened. And it's many times, not every time, because you have the privilege of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is a teacher. He will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Yes.
There in our home congregation, that's one of my, oh, I don't want to say a hobby horse necessarily, but it's very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
that the people get a hold of the Holy Ghost for themselves. Because the Holy Ghost will lead them into all truth. It will be a witness. When you hear something preached, it will either confirm it or it will deny it. And so God is saying He wants His people to be taught the difference between the holy and the profane. You might think that ought to be easy. I ought to be able to see the difference in unclean and clean. But sometimes the enemy tries to blind our minds.
That's true.
And he affects us in such a way that we don't quite see the evil. What does the Word say? How are you and I to look at sin? We're to look at sin as exceedingly sinful. But we can look at sin and we can say, well, that's not a real bad sin. And this one's much worse. You know, if you murder, that's really bad. But if you do this one, it's just not really that bad. Listen, sin will keep you and me out of heaven. It's bad to have sin and be drinking from the cup of sin. I'll miss heaven. So I've got to look at sin as being exceedingly sinful. Don't water it down. Don't twist it. I'm talking about you and your personal vision. We don't want it done up here. Don't go home and do it either. Keep the truth burning bright. Light, walk in the light. The Word says that if you and I do not walk in the light, it says, lest what? Darkness will come upon you and me. We're subject to these things. We're still in the flesh. We're still on this earth. We're still walking among spirits even as we go to the store. Do you ever feel the spirits? That it seems like the very air is filled with spirits? Or do you just go to the store and I just don't even feel anything? Let us be sensitized to what we are, our vision. When we see the undress in the world, don't get accustomed to it. And oh, my dear saints, let us not get accustomed to same-sex marriage. We can have it in our families. We do. But make sure you're seeing it clearly. According to the Word of God. Not with hatred or malice or not with anything that God would condemn you for. We're commanded to love. But have a vision of the truth and live it. And hold to the standards. So the scripture here says, the reason why, verse 24, that they shall stand in the judgment, and they shall judge it according to the judgment. Now, whose judgment? My judgment? No, God's going to be the judge. He's the righteous judge. The scripture says that God's going to judge the whole earth. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? He won't make a mistake on you or me or anybody else. And it will be according to prophetic vision. The vision that God has given down through the ages of His Word. And we are so privileged. Don't you know that in the Old Testament they didn't have Bibles? They had to go to the temple and hear the priests teach them. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. We are so privileged. A veil. What was the message yesterday? Of a benefit package. This is a great benefit. And it's for us. Thank the Lord. So we're to teach the difference. even today. It may not be called holy and profane and clean and unclean, but they fall under those categories. Maybe it wasn't the same thing that they had happening at that time, but you and I are in the end. And there have been spirits so hatched out. Our very world is just people with it. But we must keep ourselves in Jesus' name. So, let's go on down now a little bit. I did say that God didn't want us to be ignorant, and I'm going to give you this from the New Testament. And I'm putting this, I'm paraphrasing this in my own words, but it does say that God does not want our understanding darkened, nor our vision be alienated through ignorance. Because of the blindness of our heart. That's a New Testament scripture. So it coordinates with the things of the Old Testament. And then there's one more scripture from Proverbs 22:3, and I'm giving you just part of that. It says, a prudent man. What is a prudent man? What is a prudent man? Wise. So we must be wise. So let's change the word prudent so we make sure we understand what we're who we're talking to. So the wise man has foresight. And you know what that foresight is? Vision. He has foresight. He sees the evil. What does he see in the evil? He sees it again as exceedingly sinful. It is the thing that will send me to hell. That's just hard language, but I want to tell you it is the truth. If we come to the judgment and we find we have sin that has been unrepented of, we will be condemned for all eternity. And that's another thing. We can't hardly comprehend eternity. So, we're going to move on from the watchman. The conclusion of it is this, and we're going to take the statement and turn it around. When it said that where there is no vision, the people perish, we're going to make it a positive statement. Where there is vision, what will happen? The people will live. The people will be made alive. The scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, what is there? Liberty. And so, if there is vision, you and I will be alive in the Spirit. So that, isn't that encouraging? So now I want to speak just a little bit about our personal vision, because you've got to have personal vision. We've up to this point, we've spoken about the prophetic vision. Responsibility of called ministers to the people. Charged of God. That's what we've been addressing up to this time, but that's not all there is. You and I, each one, doesn't matter who we are, we have to have vision also. We have to have personal vision. And we are, as we read over there in Ezekiel, you will be responsible for yourself. When you stand at the judgment, or when I stand at the judgment, I can have X number of people there trying to say, oh, she was a good person. But God's judgment will be the final judgment. And what I have in my life, because the scripture says, I'll be judged for the deeds done in the body. So for my personal judgment, we're going to bear the responsibility. But let me tell you, it will be partly how you receive the Word of God.
Yes.
There's just no other way to say it. When God places every member in the body as it pleases Him,
yes.
And it begins to work in the body,
yes.
We need to fear God.
Yes.
We need to recognize God has placed this individual, whomever, as maybe the pastor or the minister. And they're doing it with a charge that if I don't, I'll bear the blood of the people. So the preached word, there are people that will say, when the word goes forth, I've heard it, and I probably you have too. Well, I just don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're damning your own soul. Oh, you say, well, that's just bondage. Well, my pastor's wife, when we were young, you know what she said to me one time? It was after Monarch. And I must have had some kind of problem. And she said this to me. She said, you know, Maxine, she says, you can go to Monarch and lose your soul. That got my attention. You can. You can go to a camp meeting and lose your soul. How? By rejecting the word. When it pricks you, and you say, I don't see it that way. When the word offends you, you ever been offended by the word priest? I have. It's hard to admit those things. But I'm going to give you an example. A number of years ago, long before I was in the ministry, the styles were ruffles on the women. And I wouldn't wear the ruffles because we had been taught that the saints are a plain people. And I believed it. But after a while, I was a little bit worn down because I began to see ministers' wives wear ruffles. And so it came down to my daughter's wedding, and so the garment that I made for her wedding had a little ruffle around the collar and around the sleeve. And I felt real good about that. And I may have made one other garment that had the little tiny ruffle on it. Well, here I was in the night service one time, and the preacher was preaching, and he preached against ruffles. And I looked around, and there was just me and one other person that had on ruffles. And he also mentioned Sunday school teachers, and I was a Sunday school teacher. And I was offended. When they dismissed, I slipped out of the chapel and went out and got in the back seat of the car. Like I rode in the back seat all the time. I didn't. And my daughter and my husband came and got in the car, and they ignored me. They was like, that's normal. But it wasn't normal. But I'm going along, and I'm just licking my wounds. And I still remember the corner where the Lord spoke to me.
Spoke to you then.
And He spoke in the most tender voice. And the Lord said, why do you want to wear those ruffles? And I want to tell you, it was more tender than that. And I responded to the Lord and I said, well, Lord, it just makes me feel so feminine. And the Lord said, won't you give it up for me? And I said, yes, Lord. You're no longer offended when you say yes to the Lord. And He gives you grace. So there's going to be times that the word of the Lord is going to cut. But this is what Sister Souter said to me when she said, you can go to Monarch and you can lose your soul. She said, Maxine, if you don't agree or if you don't understand, don't reject the word. Seek God. If you don't see it just like the Holy Spirit is sending it forth, go home and pray. Say, Lord, give me seeing eyes and hearing ears, and cause me to walk in your way. He will cause us to. He will give such power and grace. It won't even be a trial. Oh, the enemy will try to make it a trial. But I want to tell you, you can have a personal vision that coordinates with prophetic vision. You can have a heart that is willing and receiving and eating the Word of God. Don't you know what the Word says about the Word of God? It was a little book and He said, take this Word and eat it. He says it'll be sweet in your tongue, but it'll be bitter in the belly. Why is that? It's when you start digesting it into your life, there comes an opposition there from the enemy of your soul, trying to deter you, trying to turn you away from your vision, your personal vision. Oh, it's so precious to have a clear vision. And it, when it coordinates, it's just like we said in the beginning, Sister Mary said, spoke of that witness. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I can do this. I know the Lord has, He's called for a number of things in my life. But I want to say He's always said it with the sweetest voice that I could not resist. And I am testifying to you today that when I would say yes, that was the end of the temptation. It just was like it meant nothing. And that's what the Lord wants to do. So there's going to be people that will say things like this. I just don't have convictions. What is personal vision? It's conviction. So you don't have conviction about something, what do you do with it? You go to the Lord. Lord, open my eyes. Give me conviction. If you want it, He'll give it to you. He said, if you ask, you will receive. So you need some conviction? I'm telling you, it's hard to do these things without it. You need conviction because it's your vision. Remember, your vision is going to coordinate with the prophetic vision that's sent from God to men of old. Thank the Lord. Then there's people that say also, I just don't think that's necessary. Well, we had a message by our brother here earlier this week, and he spoke about the coffee. And when he realized that he was putting that ahead of his love for the Lord, it became necessary. If I, anything that the Lord has, and I could stand up here and tell you all a bunch of things that the Lord has called for from me personally, might not fit yours at all. You seek the Lord. What's going to fit for you in your relationship? We heard about relationships. And you're being filled with that glory. Oh, this is how we're filled with that glory. When He comes in His sweet voice, won't you give that up for me? And when you say yes, I'm telling you, you are filled with His glory.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. So, one thing I have written down here in my little notes is the great danger of when I no longer can have conviction, or I don't see it that way, or I just don't think it's necessary. The next step is that I will take on a form of godliness. The next step will be deception and blindness. And the next step will be, I will be lost. I think one of the ministers this week brought this scripture out. Maybe it's this morning. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But it's a scripture that we all need to take home with us. And it's concerning the man that beholds himself in a mirror. And then he goes away and he forgets what manner of person that he is. Lord, help us that we not be that man or live that way. Okay, I'm going to ask a question. What visions seem most necessary for this age? And I'm going to give you opportunity to contribute in just a little bit, but I'm going to have to give you mine first. As I was thinking on this, I thought of many things that we need a clear vision, not only prophetically, but personally. But the one thing that stood out in my mind was the fact that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I've spoken just earlier about generations. It doesn't matter what generation comes, what generation goes. The word of the Lord fits every generation. It's not going to change for the youth. You and I were once young. And the word of the Lord, I want to tell you something. When I was young, I listened to the preached word, little girl. I grew up in the church. That doesn't make you a saint. And that doesn't make you have vision. There comes a time you have to seek for vision for yourself. But as a little girl, maybe I looked like I was playing, but I was listening. I remember saying as a little girl, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. Now, what did that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it meant. Because my family didn't live like I would hear the preached word. A little girl, I knew that. I recognized it. And those of you that have children, your children will know if you're not living it. If they are hearing the word, they will know when mom and dad aren't living according to the word that's preached. So I had this desire as a little child. Yet when I was a teenager, I was very proud. I didn't turn and be a saint all the way. I wasn't a saint all the way till I was 30. I didn't get saved to never give up the Lord until I was 30. So the desire was still there. It was still there. But now I can't even think where I was going. Lord help me. Maybe the Lord will bring it back to my mind. This is what happens when you get this old. This is what it was. When I got saved, Nobody had to teach me how to dress. Why? Because I saw it. I heard it. When I was young, I knew what the standard was. And I want to talk to us a little bit about standards before we close. Because standards is also part of our vision. So nobody had to come and tell me what to do, how to do, because I had been taught it. That's the great privilege of when we do come to the Lord, we also have those in the congregation that have been an example.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to tell you all, be an example to the generation coming on.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times our actions, how we present ourselves, speaks much louder than words.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to tell you, is that even though I had this desire as a little child to be a saint all the way, so to speak, when I did get saved, I knew what was required of me.
Yeah.
To a degree, the Lord had to lead me in a lot of ways after that. But anyway, He is the same for every generation.
Yeah.
The Word of God is the same.
Yeah.
So I want to speak just a little bit about a need for our vision with the standard of the Word.
Yeah.
See, I'm not talking about men's standards or what they think is right or wrong. But a standard is a rule or a principle used as a basis for judgment. And it's not our judgment. It's God's judgment. Lauren and I were reading Sister Faith Stewart's book. And later in her life, she was a missionary in Cuba, and she preached a message that was this title, and I feel like it's worthy to be named here today. This was the title of her message: The Lowest Standard by Which We Can Reach Heaven. What is the lowest standard by which we can reach heaven? Do you have an answer? What?
There's only one.
There's only one, but what is that standard? What? I couldn't hear you. Well, there's the Bible.
God's standard, what He laid down.
What did He say without this? Without holiness. And that's what she concluded in her message. That's the lowest standard that you can live and make heaven, is to live a holy life. That's the lowest one. So you and I need to be seeking. We need to have a vision of what holiness is. In a dark world. In an unholy world. In a profane world. Where there's profanity on every hand. Keeping yourselves unspotted from what?
The world.
The world. I've got to have vision. I've got to have prophetic vision. I've got to have the influence of Holy Ghost preaching. But I've got to have personal vision. This is where you live and walk.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. So I thought that was worthy.
Yes.
And how many years ago was that preached? That would have been back in the 1950s, 40s.
Yeah.
Is it the same today? Can we preach a message on the same subject? Then we've answered the question. What's the lowest standard? It's holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. So now I'm going to ask you, and just you contribute, and this will be the end of the service. For this age, what do you think is needful for prophetic vision and for personal vision? Because there's many things. What's your thoughts? What do you think is vital to you and me from this day to the coming of the Lord.
We have the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. We've still got to have a clear vision of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing. That's an important thing. What else?
Sound truth.
Sound truth. We still need it, don't we?
Yes.
So we still need prophetic vision that will preach the truth, but we need conviction of it, don't we?
Yes.
What else?
Love for the things of God.
Love for the things of God. What does the scripture say about that? If the love waxes cold, something happens. So I still need a vision of loving the truth. What else?
That God calls us all out of Babylon.
God called. Is that still the message today? Was it a message? Do we really hear that as much? The world isn't hearing it.
No.
But you and I need to be warned of Babylon. We mustn't be straddle the fence. So would you say that that would mean that we needed a vision of the church of God?
Yes.
I think we need a vision that there is one true church.
Yes, amen.
And then at the same time, we need a vision of where the church is and what the church is.
Yes.
And it's not just this little group and this little group. It's everyone. What's our vision? Every blood-washed one. Whose names are written where? I got to have that vision too, don't I? In these last days, we reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. We test the spirit. We don't imbibe a false spirit. We have vision. We're coming down to the end, aren't we?
Yes.
Don't you feel it?
Yes.
Don't you feel the coming of the Lord is nigh? Live like you believe the Lord is coming tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm praying for it. And you might think that's wrong. And I'll tell you why. My burden is for the innocent generation. The children. If the children comes to the age of accountability, how much larger will hell be? The scripture says hell hath enlarged itself. And if this next little innocent generation, everybody else above the age of accountability, have had their opportunity.
Yes.
But they're coming into a world that is more vile than we can ever. We never dreamed it would come to this in our lifetime. Never dreamed. Let's pray for the innocent generation. Let's be ready. Let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for our loved ones like we've never prayed before. Yes, have a clear vision, but Jesus said, I'm going to come again. But oh, for the innocent little children to come to the age of accountability is almost more than my mind can take in. I'll close there. I hope you will not be offended. My confession of my prayer. It challenges me to fight every day to make sure my soul is clear. That's got to be our vision also. Because you know what the scripture says? It says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. What does that mean? That means that you and I will barely be saved. That doesn't take away from the power of God for keeping us. But we're in a world where we're going to scarcely be saved. And get a vision of that. It will put a burden on your heart for yourself. Yes, it'll put a burden on your heart for the saints. It'll put a burden on your heart for your lost loved ones. We're in a time. This is the time to pray.
Yes, amen.
The coming of the Lord is coming. Pray for me.